Chapter 15. A week later, they met Lan Xichen at Koi Tower. He seemed a little subdued, but overall better than he had been when he departed Lotus Pier. Wei Wuxian had hesitantly suggested postponing his wedding to Lan Wangji, but had been met with fierce objections. Their wedding would not be delayed by the dishonorable actions of the Jin clan, he was told in no uncertain terms. So this wasn't really the best time for them to be visiting Koi Tower, but Lan Xichen hadn't wanted to wait too long, and Lan Wangji had insisted on being there if his brother was going to visit Jing Guangyao. Wei Wuxian offered to go as well, but Lan Xichen clearly felt like things were going to be awkward enough. He followed along mentally, though, because of course he did, as Lan Wangji followed his brother and Jin Sichuan to one of the smaller guest houses on the outskirts of Koi Tower.
No dungeons for Jing Guangyao, it seems,
Wei Wuxian remarked. Lan Wangji didn't reply, but gave the definite impression that he wasn't impressed. Wei Wuxian wasn't either, not really. Jin Sichuan clearly felt sorry for his brother, regardless of what he had done. He might throw Xue Yang into a cell, but not Jing Guangyao.
Have you spoken to him much? Lan Xichen said as they walked.
Jin Sichuan nodded.
Although he has not showed much interest in speaking to me, he's passed along some requests to the guards. Certain books he wanted, for example. He asked if he could have his guqin. Apparently you were teaching him to play, but I said no because the strings can be used as weapons. That seemed to anger him, and he has not said a word to me since.
Lan Xichen closed his eyes for a few moments.
I hope we can help him.
The house had several guards lurking conspicuously, which eased Lan Wangji's nerves, and the interior was nearly bare. Most of the furniture and decorations had been removed. There was a shelf with about a dozen books, and a table set up with writing and drawing materials. Jing Guangyao was sitting at it, practicing calligraphy. He did not look up when Jin Sichuan came in, but when Lan Xichen cleared his throat, his head whipped around. Then a sad smile touched his face.
Welcome to my humble home, Zouzhen, Han Guanjun. Have you come to comfort me in my time of need? I came because I wanted to see you, Lan Xichen said. There's no need to be so formal. I can't call you Arga anymore, can I?
Jing Guangyao asked.
I broke the brotherhood in pretty much every way possible. So what shall it be? Why don't you use my name?
Lan Xichen suggested,
since we are apparently going to start at square one of getting to know each other.
If you'd like, Jing Guangyao said, and closed the book he was copying from.
I would offer you tea, but apparently I can't be trusted with porcelain, or hot water, or fire for that matter.
Trust must be earned, Jin Sichuan said, which got him a glare. I will have tea sent, he added, and left the house before he could make things worse. Lan Wangji sat down in the far corner of the room, where he could observe without interfering.
I can speak to them about your guqin, Lan Xichen said, sitting
down at the table across from Jing Guangyao.
As long as they're sealing your spiritual power, you would not have enough fine control over the strings to use them as weapons.
How kind of you, Jing Guangyao said. I suppose you'll say we can resume lessons as well.
We can, if you wanted to, Lan Xichen said.
Jing Guangyao shook his head.
There's no need.
The awkward silence sat for a moment before a maid arrived with tea. She set the tray down, then left hastily. Jing Guangyao reached out and poured them both a cup.
Shall I pour one for you as well, Han Guanjun? He asked. Or are you going to lurk in the corner and stare? It's somewhat uncomfortable, you know.
Kneeling in the dirt while you decided to kill us was uncomfortable. But you don't see me complaining about that.
Lan Wangji thought, and Wei Wuxian laughed merrily in the back of his mind.
No tea,
he said shortly. Suit yourself, Jing Guangyao put the pot back down. Why are you here? Lan Qichen sighed.
Jing Guangyao, I've considered you a close friend for the past year. Can I not visit to check and make sure you are being well treated?
You can, Jing Guangyao said, but I can't imagine why you would want to.
Ugh, what a little brat he's being,
Wei Wuxian said.
You should slap the shit out of him for talking to your brother that way.
To be fair,
Lan Wangji began.
Ooh, we're interested in being fair now?
Wei Wuxian asked. Lan Wangji continued.
Neither you nor I would be any happier in his position.
Yeah, but neither you nor I ever... Well, okay, we have killed lots of people, but only bad people. It's totally different.
Lan Qichen took a deep breath and squared his shoulders.
I would like to ask you some questions, Jing Guangyao. Although, I suppose I cannot be guaranteed the truth in your answers. I hope you would agree that I deserve it.
At this, Jing Guangyao's gaze slid to the side.
You've always deserved the truth. I have given it to you wherever I could. Did you break Xue Yang out of the unclean realm?
Yes, Jing Guangyao said with a nod.
Why?
Why? Jing Guangyao seemed honestly startled by this question. Because he had a piece of the yin iron, of course. I had already seen what he could do with it at the Chang Manor.
But why would you want that?
Lan Qichen asked. Jing Guangyao sighed.
You truly have no idea what it's like to be powerless.
No, Lan Qichen said quietly. I suppose I don't. He hesitated, then asked,
When you saved me, as Cloud Recesses burned, was that a coincidence, or had you gone there to find me?
Of course I went there to find you, Jing Guangyao said. What else would I have been doing in Gusu? I heard the Wen clan had attacked Cloud Recesses. I didn't have anywhere else to be, and you... His gaze dropped, and for the first time his voice softened.
You were so kind to me at the saluting ceremony. I was worried for you.
Lan Qichen considered this.
So you did go there for me, but it genuinely was to help me, not to place me in your debt or give me a certain opinion of you?
Jing Guangyao smiled and said dryly,
What opinion, Lan Qichen, that I was kind? I killed 4 Wen soldiers in front of you, to convince you that I was honorable. I stole one of their uniforms so I could get closer to the rest of them and kill even more of them. Exactly what impression do you think I was trying to give you?
That I could trust you, Lan Qichen said. That you had my best interests in mind.
Oh, Jing Guangyao said.
Well, no, I didn't go to Cloud Recesses and save your life just to make you think I cared about your life. I did it because I actually cared about your life. Does that satisfy you, Lan Qichen?
Yes, Lan Qichen said quietly.
And what about you, Han Guanjun? Jing Guangyao asked. Because I know what you're thinking over there. That the fact that I cared about his life doesn't mean a damn thing, because I was completely willing to ruin it in order to carry out my father's orders. You're absolutely correct. It doesn't mean anything. The only person whose best interests I ever had in mind were my own.
Ayao, Lan Qichen said.
While I'm on the subject, Jing Guangyao continued, his voice still calm, almost pleasant, I'd like to mention that both you and my brother can stop looking at me like I'm some sort of broken toy that you're trying to figure out how to glue back together so you can continue to play with it. I don't appreciate the side of pity and condescension I'm now getting with every meal. I am the man the world made me. There's nothing wrong with me. So you can stop trying to fix me, please, and thank you.
I am not allowed to want to help you, Lan Qichen said.
Help me how? Jing Guangyao asked. Can you erase what I've gone through, Lan Qichen? Can you make it not matter anymore? Lan Xichen regarded him sadly for a moment and murmured, "How I wish I could." Jing Guangyao looked away and said nothing. Lan Xichen took a deep breath. "Can people not change, Jing Guangyao? Or do you think change is a bad thing? There is nothing wrong with change. I understand that everything you did to win the approval and love of your father. The other night in Yunmeng, I think you finally accepted that you would never have it. So where do you go from here? How are you going to spend the rest of your life? Stewing in bitterness and resentment over what you could not have? Or will you turn away the two people who still care about you, even after what you've done? If you cannot have your father's love, is it better to have none at all?" Jing Guangyao still said nothing. "I will let you meditate on that," Lan Xichen said. "Unfortunately, I cannot stay, but I will be back in 2 weeks. Perhaps I might bring my own Guqin, so even if we do not resume our lessons, I can play for you." For a long moment, Jing Guangyao remained silent. Then, without looking at Lan Xichen, he whispered, "I'd like that." After the evening meal, Wei Wuxian saw Jin Sichuan draw Jiang Yanli aside and ask if she would like to sit in the gardens with him for a while. Wei Wuxian immediately grabbed Jiang Cheng and dragged him along so the two of them could listen in.
"Wei Ying,"
Lan Wangji commented upon noticing that he was gone.
"Really?"
"Listen, I don't mind him anywhere near as much as I used to, but if he's going to propose to my sister, I'm going to make sure he does it right. Go meditate or some... Oh, dear heavens, he built a lotus pond here for her. That's so sweet, I'm going to be sick."
Lan Wangji wondered whether or not cloud recesses could support a lotus pond, given the colder climate, and sighed internally as he sat down to meditate.
"I will not be part of this eavesdropping,"
he told Wei Wuxian. This didn't faze Wei Wuxian in the slightest. He was already tuning in to what Jin Sichuan was saying, as he and Jiang Cheng crouched behind the gazebo. "I want to ask you something," Jin Sichuan said, sounding as painfully awkward as usual. "I think you probably know what it is, and I hope I'm right in thinking I know what your answer will be. But before I ask you, I have to tell you something. Something I think might change your answer." Wei Wuxian and Jiang Cheng exchanged a look, both of them ready to burst out and start hitting Jin Sichuan if he started upsetting their sister. "Over the last few weeks, I've been doing my best to find my other half-siblings," Jin Sichuan said, which wasn't the statement any of them expected. "It probably doesn't surprise you to hear that there are quite a few. After what happened with Jing Guangyao, it's important to me to make sure that all of them are being taken care of, and that they know they have a place here in the Jin clan if they desire it."
"That's very kind of you, Sichuan,"
Jiang Yanli said, although she still seemed a little perplexed as to why he was bringing it up before his proposal. "Most of them are already in fairly good circumstances," Jin Sichuan said. "My father gave money to their mothers, or they were born in other well-off sects. But there is one I am worried about, a boy named Mo Jie. He's only a couple of years old. His mother died in childbirth, and he's being raised by his maternal relatives, who seem to view him as a burden."
"How awful."
"I intend to bring him here," Jin Sichuan said. "I know that technically he would be my half-brother, but given the age difference, and given how my mother treated Jing Guangyao due to her anger over my father's infidelity, I would be raising him myself."
"That seems like it would be best,"
Jiang Yanli said, nodding in an encouraging manner.
"And I know that might change your answer," Jin Sichuan said. "To be expected to accept that I am raising a child who is not my own, who is not my wife's child."
Jiang Yanli looked at him curiously and said, "If I did say it changes things, if I said I could not accept your offer, would you still do it?" Jin Sichuan's shoulders stiffened.
"Jiang Gunyang, I hope you know how much affection I hold for you. But Mo Jie is my brother. My duty, my responsibility would first be to him. If that upsets you, I'm sorry, but..."
Jiang Yanli kissed him. It was a brief kiss, and when she pulled away, her cheeks were flushed pink, and Jin Sichuan looked like he had been hit in the face by a board. "You would not be raising him yourself," she said. "We would be raising him together." "Marry me?" Jin Sichuan blurted out, and Jiang Yanli smiled and nodded.
"I am just way, way too happy about the fact that my sister is marrying that peacock,"
Wei Wuxian thought, grinning gleefully in response to Jiang Cheng's relieved smile.
"Ah, imagine when we all have kids. They're going to play together, and it's going to be so sweet. And if Jin Guangshan could find half a dozen women to bear children for him, I'm sure Lan Chan and I can find a few."
"I don't think those situations are anything remotely alike,"
Lan Wengji commented dryly.
"My point still stands, though."
Lan Wengji replied.
"Perhaps you should stop eavesdropping on your sister and come find me, so we can discuss it in person."
Wei Wuxian grinned and tilted his head towards the edge of the courtyard. Jiang Cheng nodded, and the two of them stealthily made their exit. "Here I thought I'd be racing you for who could be first to have kids," Wei Wuxian said, and Jiang Cheng flushed pink. "Looks like Shijie is gonna beat us both." "Well, I'm gonna be next," Jiang Cheng said immediately. "No way," Wei Wuxian laughed. "You and Wen Qing have to make one. It'll take at least 9 months. Me and Lan Chan are gonna have one in a week. You'll see."
"We are not kidnapping someone else's child, so you can beat your brother at a contest you weren't having until 30 seconds ago,"
Lan Wengji told him. Wei Wuxian just smirked and said,
"We'll see."
After leaving Lan Ling, they headed back to Cloud Recesses. Wei Wuxian could barely contain his excitement, his thoughts running 100 miles an hour as he thought about the wedding, the celebration, the future.
"Who do you think will get married next? Are Jiang Cheng and Jin Sichuan going to get in a fist fight over it? That would be hilarious, honestly. I should suggest that. Tell them that they should fight over the privilege."
"Wei Ying,"
Lan Wengji commented, amused. Wei Wuxian just smiled at him.
"It will be Jiang Wenyin and Wen Qing who are next to be married, without question."
"Oh?"
Wei Wuxian gave him a curious look.
"Why do you say that?"
"Jin Sichuan is, for all his good qualities, still a member of the Jin clan."
Wei Wuxian didn't finish the thought in words, but a general pulse of distaste for the Jin's propensity for ostentatious, extravagant behavior.
"Ah, good point,"
Wei Wuxian thought.
"They'll probably need at least 6 months to plan, whereas, honestly, it's amazing Jiang Cheng and Wen Qing haven't already tied the knot in secret, then dared everyone to get mad about it."
Lan Wengji gave a snort.
"If it weren't for the political aspect, they probably would have been married the same night he proposed. Just done their 3 prostrations and gotten it over with."
"You're so right,"
Wei Wuxian replied, chuckling. "What are you chortling about over there?" Jiang Cheng asked suspiciously. "Do you two honestly not realize how annoying your little silent conversations are?"
"Of course we realize,"
Lan Wengji thought, and Wei Wuxian laughed harder.
"I think it's adorable," Jiang Yanli said.
"Of course you do," Jiang Cheng said. "You're not the one they're probably making fun of."
"No one was making fun of you,"
Wei Wuxian said, rolling his eyes.
"Yes, we were."
"Only a little."
Jiang Cheng eyed them suspiciously as Wei Wuxian broke into laughter again, and the smallest hint of a smile touched the corner of Lan Wengji's mouth. "I don't believe you."
"Not everything is about you, Wenyin,"
Wen Qing said sweetly.
"If anything, we were making fun of Jin Sichuan," Wei Wuxian said, and Jiang Yanli flushed pink. "Because can you imagine what his and Shijie's wedding is going to be like? It's going to be the event of the century. The Jin clan has no taste. Jiang Cheng, maybe the two of us can talk him into letting us plan it. It's our sister, after all. We should be the ones in charge."
Jiang Cheng nodded. "Absolutely." Wei Wuxian caught a hint of anxiety and sadness from Lan Wengji and glanced over to see him looking at his brother, who was looking momentarily downcast.
He was about to ask why, when Lan Xichen spoke up, saying, "I believe some of the preliminary plans were already being made, actually. He stopped and closed his eyes for a moment. "Jingguangyao mentioned to me that his brother had asked him to start putting some things together. I think he felt it was a good way to reach out to him, to show him that he appreciated Jingguangyao's skill at such things."
"Yeah, we're not doing anything he planned," Wei Wuxian said bluntly. Then he saw the look on Lan Xichen's face.
Sorry, Zoujin, but I do think it's better to start from scratch in this case."
"You're right, I'm sure," Lan Xichen said.
"But speaking of getting used to new names," Wei Wuxian began.
"We weren't,"
Lan Wangji said.
"I was thinking about Xiangcheng getting used to calling Jingguangyao by his name, but nobody said anything out loud."
"Oh, I suppose not," Wei Wuxian said, but bowled ahead anyway. "Zoujin, you're going to be my brother now. I've never had an older brother before. It's going to be nice. Can I call you Xichenge, maybe?"
Lan Xichen smiled for the first time since that night in Yunmeng.
"I'd like that."
Wei Wuxian felt a wave of relief from Lan Wangji at seeing his brother smile again, combined with a mixture of gratitude and love for Wei Wuxian for making it happen. He beamed at Lan Wangji, who smiled back.
"Adorable," Jiang Yanli whispered.
"Oh, we weren't even talking that time," Wei Wuxian protested.
Xiangcheng groaned. "So you were just staring at each other all soppy? That's even worse."
Wei Wuxian just laughed.
"I'm fine with that."
"Gonna be husbands in less than 24 hours,
Wei Wuxian thought, sighing in utter contentment as Lan Wangji gently poured water over the crown of his head. It was really the only thought in his head, the only thing that he could focus on at all. Other things flickered in and out, but were overcome by a wave of, "Lan Chan is marrying me in less than 24 hours.
Lan Wangji's thoughts were humming along a similar track. He was less a day in the future and more occupying the moment. The feel of Wei Wuxian's hair in his hands, the way his body relaxed, the pleasant way they intended to spend their evening once he was done with the task at hand.
"Hey, do you know," Wei Wuxian murmured without opening his eyes, "I think it's been over a year since you did that spell and linked us together."
Lan Wangji considered it, adding up weeks and months in the year of events that had passed, some joyous, some terrible. He nodded.
"I can't believe we wanted to undo it at first,"
Wei Wuxian thought.
"I know I was profoundly irritating at first, but I'm so used to you in the back of my head, I can't imagine going without it. It's so soothing, so grounding to have you here, focused on your calligraphy or your meditation or whatever it is you're doing."
Lan Wangji repeated.
"Is it the same for you?"
Wei Wuxian wondered, with a slight hint of anxiety.
"I would understand if it wasn't. I know my thoughts can be a lot."
"That's true,"
Lan Wangji thought.
"Sometimes it is indeed distracting, but most of the time it is not. Your thoughts, when you are relaxed and calm, whether they are focused on something specific or whether they are just rambling nonsense, are soothing as well. It's like having an ever-changing piece of music in my mind."
Wei Wuxian smiled, letting his happiness radiate through their bond, without bothering to give it words.
"When you're done, I want to wash your hair. It's so nice, Lan Chan. You deserve to have me do it for you as often as you do it for me."
Lan Wangji agreed. He began to rinse the soap out of Wei Wuxian's hair. A few minutes later, Wei Wuxian sat up so Lan Wangji could towel his hair partly dry and braid it for him. "All right, lie down," Wei Wuxian said. Lan Wangji had already bathed and was dressed in his sleeping robe, so he did as instructed.
"Ah," Wei Wuxian realized, tracing his fingers over the ribbon. "What shall we do with this while I wash your hair? You don't normally take it off, do you?"
Lan Wangji shook his head, the mental image of him simply sliding it down so it was looped around his neck like a necklace while he washed his hair appearing in his mind. Ah, I see, Wei Wuxian said, gently tugging the forehead ribbon down over his face so the decoration rested against the hollow of his throat. He ran his fingers over Lan Wangji's now bare forehead, then leaned over and kissed it. Lan Wangji shivered, and Wei Wuxian nearly forgot entirely about washing his hair, but managed to redirect himself, picking up the cup Lan Wangji had been using to pour water over his hair. It's nice, isn't it? He asked, scrubbing the soap into Lan Wangji's hair. Lan Wangji said, his mind a pleasant hum of contentment. They sat in silence while Wei Wuxian washed his hair, a silence that both of them enjoyed.
Tomorrow we're going to be husbands,
Wei Wuxian thought.
Not just tomorrow,
Lan Wangji replied.
Every day after as well. So pedantic, Lan Chan,
Wei Wuxian teased.
You know what I meant.
When his hair was clean, he sat up, and Wei Wuxian dried and braided it, as Lan Wangji had done for him. They kissed, softly and slowly, before Wei Wuxian began to pull Lan Wangji's forehead ribbon back up into place.
There,
he said, carefully straightening it.
You're perfect.
Lan Wangji said again, and leaned in for another kiss. Wei Wuxian reached out and rested his hand on Lan Wangji's chest, feeling his heart beat, feeling the golden core that lay beneath his skin. Strength enough for both of them. He let that strength seep into him, secure in the knowledge that he would never be empty or alone again. He thought about the life they were going to build together, the future so different from the one he had pictured himself, but more than he would have ever dared dream of.
We're going to be all right,
he realized. And from Lan Wangji, he received a wave of complete agreement. It was more than enough. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening. Author's notes. I don't think we ever get Mo Xuan Yu's birth name, so I picked one for him. Also, I'm pretty sure his mother would still be alive at this point, but I couldn't resist the cute, so sue me. Perhaps Jin Zixun did not realize how dire a situation it would result in. Oh my gosh, I hate them so much. So much. I'm at the point where Wei Wuxian just killed Jin Zixun because Jin Zixun threw Wei Wuxian into a lake and, like, bound and, tried to kill him. And how Jin Guangyao and Jin Guangshan are turning it and making it so they are the victims, I just, like... I almost don't want to record anymore because I am so... filled with hatred. It's just, it's one of these too real type hatred moments where, like, I know people, I mean, I don't personally, I think, hope, know people like that, but, like,
I have seen this happen in real life, that people do a terrible thing. It doesn't work out the way they wanted. And then they blame the victims for what happened, for defending themselves or for saying no or whatever. And I want to hurt them a lot. And it is really unpleasant to have to record this right now. Not like unpleasant, like, anyway. I am still doing this for fun. Please don't worry about that. But just like, I am revolted at these characters.
Maybe he didn't realize that it was as dangerous as it was.